Hello, everyone. Welcome to Ask the Pastor. I'm your host, Blake Gideon, Senior Pastor of Edmonds First Baptist Church. Once again, we thank you for all of your questions and for all of you who subscribe and continually like and share this podcast. I also have another podcast, if you are not aware. It's called Engaging the Mind, and we deal with really deep philosophical, theological issues, cultural issues. And so I would encourage you, if you have not subscribed to Engaging the Mind, to do that as well. Today, as typical, we have three questions. And the first question is this: is there several, or there are several verses in the Bible, as in Genesis 1, Psalms 8:3, Psalms 19:1, Matthew 3:16, and several others which refer to the heavens, plural, which sound like that there are more than one heaven. Could you tell me what they are saying? Well, yeah, of course. First of all, great observation. The Bible often does talk about heaven in the plural form, heavens. And literally, he's referring to the first heaven being that which we see. Right now, my window's open looking outside, and I can see white puffy clouds and a blue sky. That's the first heaven, that which I can see with my eyes. And then there is the second heaven, which consists of the planets and the stars and the galaxies and so forth, that being the second heaven. And then the third heaven being the dwelling place of God. So the first heaven being the sky that we see, the second heaven being the stars and the planets and the galaxies, and the third heaven being the very dwelling place of God, which is not seen by the human eye. So Paul talks about being caught up to the third heaven. And that's what he's referring to. He's referring to being caught up to the dwelling place of God. So thank you for your question today. I greatly appreciate it. The second question I have for today says this: please explain what you have seen in Scripture about predestination and the reasonable self-determination as explained by St. Augustine of Hippo. Are there varying different beliefs on predestination? Well, as most of my audience knows, that this is a topic that I have dealt with on several occasions, not just on Ask the Pastor, but also Engaging the Mind. And so I would encourage you, if you want to know more about what I believe the Bible teaches about predestination and man's free will and those things, I've got plenty of information out there on my podcast. So just look at Engaging the Mind. But I'll do a brief job here, since this is a topic that I've handled on many situations. The person asked about what does the Scripture explain about predestination? Well, first of all, the Greek word for predestination is the word parousio, which literally means beforehand. So the idea is that God determined beforehand. Well, what did God determine beforehand? Well, if you look at predestination as it's used in the Scripture, it's referring to God's elect, which is another biblical word, electos. It's also often translated chosen in our Bible. And just like in Ephesians chapter 1, those whom he foreknew, he predestined, the Bible talks about in Romans 8. Ephesians chapter 1, it says he chose us, he elected us in him before the foundation of the world. And then also he parousio, he determined beforehand to adopt us as children. So you see that in Romans 8, and you also see it there in Ephesians chapter 1. So God determined beforehand those whom he would choose, those whom he would elect unto salvation. And so that's how predestination is used in the Bible. Are there differing views of predestination? Well, of course, there's differing views. This is something that has been debated by biblical scholars and church historians throughout the ages. And I do not think that I'll be able to solve the mystery myself. It's a mystery that we ought to embrace. There's some who believe in double predestination. They believe that God, before the foundation of the world, determined some people to go to heaven and some people to go to hell. That's known also as supralapsarianism. I dealt with this on a topic a couple of weeks ago, so you can review that podcast. But basically, supralapsarianism teaches that double predestination, that God created the elect and God created the reprobate. He created some people for heaven and he created other people for hell. That's one view of predestination. And then there is another view called infralapsarianism, which basically says that God, before the foundation of the world, in light of the fall, that God chose a people for himself out of a mass of lost humanity. Humanity fell in Adam, but God chose a people for himself. This view does not teach double predestination. Why? Because they believe that God did not create people in order to damn them. They're damned because of their sin, not because of God's double predestination. And that's the view that I hold to. So yeah, there are differing views of double predestination, single predestination. But the real, literally, the word means to determine beforehand. And used in context, it means that God determined beforehand his elect, those whom he chose in himself before the foundation of the world. Now, the other aspect of your question is simply this, is, what do I believe about predestination and also about reasonable determination as explained by St. Augustine? Well, St. Augustine would believe, like much like I just described in predestination, he believed that God determined whom he would save before the foundation of the world. Those are his elect. But some people think that St. Augustine held to what is known as self-determination, and that's just a fancy word for free will. I mean, some people commonly think that St. Augustine was a proponent of free will, but actually he was not. It's pretty misleading to describe Augustine in that way. As a matter of fact, St. Augustine was increasingly dissatisfied with the view of self-determination or free will. As a matter of fact, later in his life, St. Augustine was one of the biggest opponents of self-determination and the free will of man. And by the way, this is something that is supported by this interpretation of St. Augustine is supported by Cambridge University. So many scholars who are way smarter than I am have come to this conclusion that Augustine did not hold to nor believe in self-determination or the free will of man. He did believe in the predestination of God, though. And so what does the Bible, what does the Bible teach about free will? And specifically in the context of salvation, okay? That's what we're talking about, in the context of salvation. Well, it appears that the Scripture teaches that God does predestine, but he also holds man morally accountable to choose Christ. And so I've often said on many occasions, we preach both, that God did choose a people for himself before the foundation of the world, his elect. He did determine beforehand that he would save them. But he also holds every person accountable to choose Christ. That's why the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So salvation is about confession and belief. Jesus said, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you'll perish. So there's this conscious choice of man to turn from sin and turn to Christ, to confess with one's mouth, to believe in one's heart. And so we see that both are taught in Scripture, that God does predestine and man does have a responsibility to choose Christ as personal Lord and Savior. So thank you for your question today. My last question is this: how would you counsel a Christian who claims that he or she was born homosexual? Well, first of all, that's a great question. It's one that I've dealt with on other occasions, one that I've actually counseled people in. If somebody came to me and they said they believe that they are born homosexual, what I would not do is try to say, well, you're a liar. You really don't believe that. You're just deceiving yourself. Because literally, there are people who truly believe that with all their heart. They believe that they are born homosexual. The reality is that homosexuality is a sin against God. And God doesn't create anyone to be a homosexual. He doesn't create homosexuals. We're all sin. We're all born in sin. And we have different propensities towards certain sins than others. But God does not create homosexuals. I mean, to say that someone can be born a homosexual is actually misleading. However, there are some people who think that they are born homosexual. And they believe it with all their heart. How would I counsel them? I would go to the book of Genesis and I would remind them that Satan has never changed his tactic. For example, when God tempted Adam and Eve, he was tempting them to doubt God's best. God told them, you've got free reign of the whole garden. Just don't eat of this one tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for the day that you eat of it, you'll die. And when Satan came and tempted Eve, he caused her to doubt the goodness of God. He caused her to doubt that God had her best interest in mind. And it's no different with homosexuality. God has the best interest of humanity in mind. That's why God created one man and one woman, and they were to be bound together in holy matrimony, and they were to multiply. But yet Satan comes along and he tempts mankind to believe that God does not have their best interest in mind. For example, God created male and female, but Satan comes along and says, well, did he really create male and female? God knows that if you choose to believe that, then God's holding out on you. So my point is, the temptation of Satan has always been the same. And I would show that to people in Scripture. I would say, listen, I want to try to understand where you're coming from. You know, my goal is to love you in spite of this decision that you've made. But let me share with you biblically what the Bible teaches about homosexuality. And let me also show you that Satan has not changed his tactics. He caused Eve to doubt God's goodness, and he's seeking to do the same thing for you. God's goodness for you is to have a heterosexual relationship or to remain celibate. God's goodness for you is not to live in a homosexual lifestyle. That is the deception of the devil. He wants you to think that God's holding out on you in some way, and God's not. God's will for you is to have a heterosexual relationship. But yet, if you have no attraction toward someone of the opposite sex, then God would have you to remain celibate. And so this is what the Bible teaches. And so we have to stand upon the Word of God. We don't want to be hateful. We don't want to be mean, but we also want to be trustworthy. We also want to be truthful. And so that's how I would answer that question. All right. Thank you for your questions today on Ask the Pastor. Until we meet again, serve the King.